Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome all of our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. I'm sure down there in the warm Gulf Coast, the warm Gulf Coast of Florida. I can imagine what you guys are doing right now, either putting on some sunscreen, you're going out grabbing your fishing pole, you're about to do some bottom fishing on that Bay Bridge, or I don't know. Or it could be an Eskimo jacket. It's so cold.
It's freezing.
I cannot believe what's happening. And I mean, it's almost like John Paul Jackson heard from the Lord, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
This global warming is about to freeze my dog. And my dog is just in his doghouse, just looking around.
He's not coming out.
He's not even coming out. His head's sticking out like, what is going on?
All right.
Well, here we are. You know, we have this journey we've been talking about with Nehemiah, the heart of Nehemiah. If you've been missing it, you can catch it. You can go to the VFNTV.com and go to the torch burning on the right-hand side. I think you can always see it behind me. Click on that. It'll take you to just all the things that we've been talking about and entire programs as well. Plus, you can get it on your mobile device. There's just so many different ways and watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. If we're not broadcasted in your area on Christian Television Network, all you have to do is go ask your local provider. And they're looking for fresh Rhema word, fresh things from the Lord. And that's what we're about. We're about bringing, you know, what is God saying now? What's he saying now? So we don't produce something in the context and 3 years later broadcast it up. We kind of stay in that area of just hearing from God, hearing from the Lord, and make it available to you. And this is just so encouraging, talking about, you know, the heart of Nehemiah. Can you tell how it's just like, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is, you know, when you think about rebuilding the walls, like Nehemiah, God put it in his heart to begin to rebuild the scattered stones and burnt gates. I mean, that's the church. That's the church. And you think about even today, if you go to Israel right now, you'll see they're having to build walls around to keep Sanballat out. Mm-hmm. They're having to keep the Arab Muslims out. They're having to keep all the people that are against them. They're trying to blame them for everything. And they're creating everything that I'm talking about, that I'm reading about, and that God is revealing to me. This is not only a reality, their reality at that time. This is our reality today in the church when God lays on your heart to begin to do something. But understand, this very moment, Israel is building the walls, closing the gaps, putting in gates that have to bring a authority where you walk through. You got to pass through these soldiers and metal detectors and scanners and x-rays. Why? Because the spirit of Sanballat, the Arab Muslims, the radical Muslims that are wanting to do damage to they're blaming Israel for everything. What it is it's a technique been used since Lucifer organized a third of the angels in heaven. Satan's a liar. Don't, you know, I just want to encourage you, you know, this is be so encouraging to me. Don't be so naive. Don't be vulnerable. You know, I was naive for years, and I still think I'm coming out of it even more. But just because people tell you they're for God and they're for you, while their fruit is beating you upside the head, you got to know them by their fruit. You got to know what's going on. And it might, you know, understand this, that they can be saved, and that's what you want. You want them to be saved. But you can't keep on subjecting the will and the plan and the vision of God to the abuse, because understand this, when we talk about more about Nehemiah today, in four programs back to back, don't forget that, and you can catch us. We're going to continue to talk till we're finished with, and it's just, it's got, you know, we're going somewhere with this, that he never left. He never left. And notice that if the enemy can't get you to stop, he wants you to leave. Mm-hmm. No, just keep on doing what you're doing. I just need you to come over to this meeting over here. You know, there must be something wrong with you because, you know, he's rebuilding the walls. I mean, leave the man alone. He's rebuilding the gates. What are you doing, you Sanballat spirit, you? I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Why does he have to go to a meeting with you? Why does she have to go to a meeting with you when she's building the walls? Mm. Let the wall, it's just 52 days. Let the walls be built. Don't interfere with them. Back off and celebrate that if you are part of the body of Christ, understand this is a good benefit for everybody.
That's right.
And understanding, too, that we are living stones being built together. So when you're talking about these natural burnt stones, when they came back and attacked and said, will these stones live? That's God speaking to us today that we are supposed to, although we're burnt and broken and scattered stones and we're rubble, we're piles of rubble at time. And God is bringing us and building us together into a spiritual house. He's bringing and building a place for his inhabitation. It makes me think about, you know, Paul, when Paul went to begin to share about how to begin to build a habitation for God, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews. At that time, they stoned him and threw him on a pile of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at this, that he was a pile of rubble on a pile of rubble.
Mm.
Think about it. He was a pile of rocks on rocks. I mean, he's building material for the house of God. We're building material. You know, so many people want to be, you know, the steeple. They want to be this big billboard. They want to be the marquee. And it's like, well, you can be a light bulb in the 1,000 light bulb marquee, but you can't. It's not about you.
Right.
You know, just shine when you're supposed to shine, and all of a sudden a word comes up, and you're like a piece of the letter of the piece of the word.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, they won't know that that's me. That's the plan.
It's about Jesus.
It's all about. You're going to be really shocked when we get to heaven. Everybody's going to be focused on the one who it's about, and they're going to say this: "You are worthy, Lord, to receive all glory and honor and praise, for you are the only one worthy to unloose." In heaven, on earth, and in the sea, to unloose the seals. Listen, you might do some good things, but you're not the one that's worthy. Jesus is the one that's worthy. So it's his house that he's dwelling in. It's his house that he's using us to begin to build. And when you understand that, you have no problem just doing what God's called you to do, whatever it is. And we talked about last program about being a part of the low part of the wall that's not up yet. And you're thinking a lot of people don't want low places. They want high places.
Mm-hmm.
And that revealed that you have a high place in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, if you know that everything you're doing under the Lord, it really doesn't matter if you're passing out bread, if you're teaching whatever God has on your heart, if you're helping organize, if you're helping, you know, feed the hungry. I mean, whatever you're doing, I mean, you're doing it under the Lord. Do it with all your heart. And God, who sees you do this, will reward you. Your reward doesn't come from man. If you look for men for your reward, that's all you're going to get. But if you do it under the Lord, God will reward you, not only in this life, but the life to come. And so it's so exciting as we're talking about, you know, Nehemiah. So we're going to go into, in just a moment, go into Nehemiah chapter 4, and we're just kind of working our way there because they are building and they're working. But every time you think that Satan's plans are over and captives of Lucifer are gone and there's not going to be any more Sanballat, there's not going to be more other crew that's with him coming to stop the work or to influence the work. But the truth is, it will continue on until it's fully built. And let me tell you when it's fully built. It'll be on the day of the new heaven, the new Jerusalem. We will work. We will work until our Lord returns. And then one day, our Lord and our Savior will come back with his folks, the ones that they're the builders, and he will rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him. And in that, a new city, a new Jerusalem, dressed for the Lord. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is it. A spiritual house. And we will live with him and dwell with him forever. Is that exciting?
Mm. Yeah.
But now it's time to build. He says, the reason why your house is left to you desolate, because his house is left desolate. Now, a lot of people use that and have used that in context of, come help me build this wing on the building. You know, if you want your house blessed, help us build this nursery on. You know, help us build this. Anyway, so it was, anyway. So, but he's talking about people that are actually the laborers. So revival is to, the purpose of it is to revive the people, not to revive the building. And so, or the program. And so you got to be careful that you don't end up, when God revives a people, you don't throw them on the fire of revival. And now you're burning people as kindling to maintain your plan. Instead, God's plan was to wake them up and turn them into the body relationship with him. You succeeded when you brought people to God. And they're talking to God, and they're following him and spending time with him and obeying him, loving others and leading others to the same. You've succeeded. It may look different than your paradigm, but you've succeeded. So when we get back, we're going to jump right in there to Nehemiah talking about, you know, they're being confronted, what's going on. They're beginning to arm themselves. and position themselves. Because we talked about last time about the armor of God. We've got to wear the armor of God, but we're going to continue on from there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What are the religious rights of students in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in the fifth grade. They have an open house, and I asked her to let her teacher know that we were not going to be able to make it because we leave to go to church. Her teacher responded back that church is not an excuse not to be there, that if she misses, that she's going to have to make up by doing an oral in front of other classrooms.
Well, first of all, they have to accommodate your daughter's sincerely held religious beliefs and your family's, number one. Number two, this was not an activity during the school day. It sounds like it was an after-school event, an open house. That's not mandatory. That's not under the compelled attendance laws of the states for public education. And again, I want to emphasize that you have a, if you had a church obligation, that you had the right to go there and your daughter can't be penalized for it. So I'm going to get you in touch with our legal department here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
You may be joining us today, and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He is a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome back to VFN Radio and Christian Television Network. Joining me is Pat and John here. We're going to get right in here. We're talking about, you know, the heart of Nehemiah. The secret is being revealed, it looks like, in the Word of God to be able to rebuild the church in America. I mean, you got to start from the Word of God. And we just talked about in our last program, that it is understanding that we are... called to be able to build the house of God, but build it with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's living stones. You know, each of us are important in the context of that's why somebody says, well, I can do this thing without people. How can you build a house without material? How can you build a wall without stones? How can you, the thing about the building material in the kingdom of God is people. And that's why unity means all the bricks are coming into order to make a wall. You know, all the lumber is coming together to be able to frame a wall. All the plumbing is going together to be able to supply the building. And so it's unity is important when you're talking about building material. And the adversary is about constantly separating that building material. You know, Sanballat is, remember, sand, the makeup of sand is something that doesn't stick together.
Right.
Unless the fire hits it, and then it becomes glass, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of that is that, so anything that divides building material, the body of Christ, that's of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that unites it with the right mortar, which is Jesus Christ, the unity around Jesus Christ, is of God. And it's kind of easy to tell. You know, are you bringing me closer to God? Are you dividing me from God? Are you bringing me closer to my brother who was actually in relationship with God? Are you bringing me closer to a Sanballat who's actually dividing people from God? You know, do I come together and talk to you about God, or do I come together and talk to you about what you say?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you scared for me to talk to God, me to hear them? Are you doing what a particular large broadcasting organization has just done, as they removed all prophecy from their content? And they're embracing grace. And it's like, you know, grace without truth is permission to do something that God does not like, by the way. So here we are. We're going to talk about it. We got a few moments left to begin to talk about Nehemiah. And we just talked about the armor of God. You got to be able to get that, because he says they came, they dressed, the enemy was coming in to be able to stop them from their work. And notice Nehemiah never left the work. And so then he says in verse 16, the latter part, he says, the officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the walls. And this is very interesting. First of all, that means you need to recognize who God has placed in authority. And it's weird, because normally the Sanballat captives and the dark captives are the ones that like to stand behind God's people.
Right.
It's like, you're giving me the creeps. Who are you? And why are you standing? We don't know who you are, or we do know who you are. And why are you always come into a room and you sit in the back of the room? You know, can you survive sitting in front of the flock? Can you survive sitting in front of the state? I mean, can you, and you should be able to do that. If you can't, something's got you. You know, something's got you. And especially with arms crossed.
I was just going to say that.
Arms crossed. And so, but the true authority, there's true authority. So you cannot throw out authority that will protect you, because others have seduced authority and begin to operate in seduced authority that's not theirs. So you got, because they stood behind them. And that's why you got to get up under covering in the context of what God's called you to do, because they're going to watch over you while you're doing the work. This is where a lot of us, you know, we may be naive at times, that because I'm serving God, because I'm doing what God wants me to do, you know, God's got my back. You know, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Well, that's the name of the two guards that stand behind you. Officer Goodness and Officer Mercy.
That's right.
I mean, just sad to say, the reality of it is, if you have your shepherd, you know, your apostle, whoever that is God's called you to be rightly related to, you can do the work knowing that you're covered. Does that make sense? But if you put your nose to the grindstone, spiritually speaking, you're not looking around. But you need somebody that can be another point. So when you're hearing from God, they can hear from God with you, and you both can hear together. Like, wow, that's God, man. Or watch out for that. You know, I'm noticing people creeping over your walls, coming through your gaps and trying to break in the gates. Right?
Yeah.
And so then he goes on to verse 17. He's talking about, as he put the people behind the people in Judah, some of them, the officers who were building the wall, and those who carry materials did their work with one hand and held their weapon with the other. So even though you're rightly related to a pastor, to an apostle, you know, you have authority, you're connected and you're related, and be related. Don't be like somebody you don't even know. You know, call the pastor. You're in your deathbed. You know, what's his name again? You know, and he might not even be your pastor if you don't even know his name. And that's not necessarily because of him or her. It could be because you haven't really got up under the covering and that relationship there that God has for you. But you could get close and find out, oh, this is not the place. And in the context of that, realize that. So they're building the building materials. So even though you're rightly related, you still can't say, well, I'm still going to put my nose to the grindstone. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to build people. And that's what you're building. That's the building material. And they're building. They still had to understand that part of my life was going to be involved in building, but part of my life was going to be involved in defending. When you think about it, I just think about this. Well, one hand, they had a sword in one hand. They had a weapon in one hand. So this is like a sword, isn't it? It's just like, got a sword like this. And so the one hand had that in it. And then the other hand, you think about a building trowel. You know, when you actually, if you're building stones, you got something to be able to put mud or mortar or whatever they're putting in the context of that. So when you're working for God, you can't say, can you fight for me so I can build? Right. Or can you build for me so I can fight? No, if you're going to survive this thing, you're going to have a sword in one hand and you're going to have a trowel in the other hand. I'm talking about the secret to rebuilding the church in America. You cannot default things over that you're supposed to do. You have to fight the good fight of faith. So when you think about that, You just think about these two devices here. You think about a sword, and you think about a trowel, something to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't fight our battle. Remember, we just talked about this last time. It's not a physical sword. We're not trying to fight a physical battle here. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So a sword like this would kill flesh and blood. He said we wrestle against spiritual wickedness. And he says that you, above all things, you need to pick up the sword of the Lord. That's the word of God.
Mm.
So you think about it. You know, you're building folks,
mm-hmm.
and you have the sword of the Spirit.
That's right.
And 81%, according to George Barna, in America, that's don't right. even pick up the sword at all.
Mm.
And they're just defaulting, oh, these religious Christians, these, you know, the men in the cloth, they'll fight for us.
All right.
No, they won't. And by the way, like I said, the only one that's in the cloth is Tarzan. You're the one supposed to be covered in the things of God. And you're building folks. You can't sit there and treat that man like that. You can't go in there and attack that minister. You can't go in there and do all that. You're supposed to build him up in the most holy faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to have both of these.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're going to be laying a stone and helping someone out. And sometimes you're going to be saying, dear God, man, don't you know what God's word says?
That's right.
You can't get rid of prophecy, man.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
Don't tear everything that your father built. Don't destroy it.
I know, that's right.
Chimney, TB and crickets. And so understanding that's what we're called to do. So they actually had a sword in one hand and they had a trowel in the other hand. That means you cannot default and say, you know, here's some cash, go build something. You know, here is my Bible, read it back to me. You've got to begin to abide with God. And how you fight the good fight of faith, since it's a battle of the spiritual realm and you're fighting not against flesh and blood, you abide with God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you abide while you build, you are fighting with the sword of the Spirit. So if you abide, think about that. If you abide, and that's what you're doing. When you abide with God, and you can go to iabide.org and get you a plan. You're arming yourself for that day,
yeah.
but not with a natural sword, but with the word of God.
Spiritual. Yeah.
Spiritually arming yourself. And so you have the word of God hidden in your heart, and you're memorizing some of the word of God, and you're reading it, something standing out to you. You're asking God, what does this mean to me? You're entering his presence with gratitude, which means you have to acknowledge him, which brings things into perspective, and you're remembering the cross of Christ. Dear Lord, thank you that you finished this work. Mm. I'm just walking out in obedience in my generation what you called me to do. So I want to encourage you, don't forget, you got to build, and you got to fight the good fight of faith. But it's a spiritual fight. And so here we are, we're talking about, so that's that was the ramification. Say, listen, Sanballat's not going to stop. Put guards behind us, and the ones who are carrying the materials, they're going to have to fight with one hand, and they're going to have to build with the other. And imagine the church just coming alive in your community around the nation. And they're saying, you know what, I'm no longer going to push my work off on others, and I'm no longer going to push my abiding or my fight, my arming myself off on others, but I'm going to leave every day, I'm going to start every day with a trowel in one hand to be able to build, and a sword, the sword of the Spirit, in the other hand, and I'm going to do it. That's what I'm going to do. And that's why listening to VFN radio and watching VFN TV, understand you are arming yourself. The word of God, you're actually putting a sword in your hand, a spiritual sword, so you can fight against those principalities. That's why we're doing what we're doing, because we believe there's mighty ones. There's soldiers in God rising up to fight this spiritual battle. And what you see now just is a whole bunch of scattered stones with Sanballat all upset because you're beginning to do something. But understand, if you stay faithful to the work, and that's what we're talking about, staying faithful with a heart of Nehemiah that God has called you, understand that God is going to give you victory, right? Because it's what he's done. It's what he wants done. And so when you look at that, that's what they were doing. They had a sword in one hand, and they had a weapon in one hand and a trowel in the other, and each of the builders had a sword on his side to be able to do the work. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with Nehemiah.
Mm.
They stayed with Nehemiah. And there's trumpets out there. There's trumpets out there. And trumpets are the ones that let you know, because you're looking at, you know, you're working with that right around you. Remember, we talked about you're focusing on your sphere of influence. You're focusing on your stream and your family that God's called you to be related to. And you're doing what God's called you to do. But you got people behind you. So you're actually building folks right around you, and you're fighting off what's right around you. But you got the heart of Nehemiah that's a watchman on the wall that's seeing what's going on. And then the the trumpet blower is going to blow a trumpet.
Mm.
And over and over again, and we did not say this of ourselves, but that's what VFN TV and the daily radio program is. I mean, that's what they're telling us. I mean, they asked us to be on Christian Television Network because they said we want a trumpet.
That's right.
Of all the times to be taking trumpets down, prophets down, of all the things, that's why I don't know why that other network would be doing that. This is the time to prophesy like never before. And that's a sign, by the way. And then in verse 19, as we're coming to the end of this particular program, we're going to continue on. He says, "Then I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out." And we're all over the place, guys, and spread out. And he said, "And we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Think about it. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, our God will fight for us. Think about that. And we're just blowing this trumpet and saying, listen, there's good things in store. People may say, well, you're bringing up negative. No, I'm bringing up the reality of Sambata, but understand that we're going to build. And the house of God, the people of God, the habitation of God for his spirit is being built in the presence of all of this. And the reason why Sambata is so stirred up, because he knows our success is his failure. Our advancement is his retreat. Understand, good things are happening. Catch us. We're going to continue this conversation. The heart of Nehemiah, the secret to rebuilding the church in America.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even a map. Visit VFNTV.com. We want to ask you to partner. Listen, you're giving, your contributions, we're doing this together. We're taking the gospel all around the world. Every bit counts. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And you know, we have a special offer for you, and I want to tell you about it. It's called Convergence. My goodness, it's a prophetic word that's amazing. And the whole title is called The Convergence, A Choir of Prophetic Words. And it talks about ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn, and the coming great awakening. I mean, this was a word that was shared, a convergence, a coming together, if you will, of prophetic words that was just really absolutely amazing. And I remember this day like it was yesterday because God just filled the studio. We were so gripped. But you're going to hear words from Rick Joyner. You're going to hear words from Greg, vision that God gave me regarding the economy and it crashing. You're going to hear words from David Wilkerson, Steve Hill. And it seems that all of these words are just coming together at one time. Because, listen, God is preparing his church. God is preparing his church. He's getting ready for a third great awakening. We want you to have this special offer. You can go to VFNTV.com, make an offer, any offer. We want to get it to you so that you can be aware, you can know what God is saying, and so that you can prepare. Again, go to VFNTV.com, select a special offer, and get it today and share it with a friend.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN Radio on Christian Television Network, and thank you, producer, and VFN Radio around the nation and around the world. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, woof, my goodness.
Hey, I'm
that
here.
That thing is happening,
come
man.
Come on, I'm here.
You know,
ready, VFN Radio.
I think I would like just one color shirt.
Hey, think about I see that.
You know, Mike Bickle used to have one color shirt. And
used to.
I know. So I'm bringing that up, you know, and somebody tells me not anymore.
Oh, really?
Like everybody pays attention to that and all that. So I'm all dressed up in a blue shirt today. And I'm color. Why is everybody laughing in here? Just because I'm color challenged does not mean.
Challenged?
Let's move on. Let's move on. I was rooting for the wrong team on the football field. I was like, that's not your team. It's not? Oh, my goodness. Wrong color there. Some football teams, I'm like, where did you get that color from? What happened? It's like different regions.
Oh, it's
like,
I know, it's wild.
Is that really? That's that. Maybe they chose that color because we're going to talk about them.
I guess so.
That was
must have been.
Yeah, puke green. Anyway, so we're talking about the heart of Nehemiah, and this is so encouraging, is it not?
Yeah, very.
Yes.
And I just want to get in it because we've been you know, we want to focus and want to carry. We're going somewhere with this, and if you haven't heard it, you can catch it on VFN TV. Go to the VFN Torch. So many different ways to be able to catch this whole conversation that we're having, but I believe God is revealing to us some of the secrets for rebuilding the church in America. And if we have the heart of Nehemiah and the strategy of God as we abide with God, I mean, imagine, because rebuilding the with these stones he's talking about, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, that's rebuilding us. That's just rebuilding the body of Christ and building the body of Christ. And so, I mean, Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to get right into this thing, because here he was, he sat there and he said, listen, I want to put guards behind you, but you're going to have a sword in one hand and you're going to have a trowel in the other hand, which is, we know, is the word of God, the sword of the mm-hmm. Spirit. And we build people. We don't build buildings. We build buildings for the people we built, but we don't build buildings and not build people.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
And so it's all about building, like, shade, shelter, and especially in cold weather is very good. And then, you know, he talks about in verse 19 in Nehemiah chapter 4, he says, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear, and think about it, not whenever, but wherever. In other words, the trumpet blast that we're about to talk about, it's unique, so you got to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't go, I do something when I hear it. No, you go to where it is.
Mm.
And he says, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Which means this. If, in fact, you do not join what God is saying, you're not going to be a part of the battle, nor maybe you're not be a part of the victory in the context of that. You may be defeated thinking that you're going to fight the enemy all by yourself with your clan or whatever is going on in the context of that, your family. And think about this. This is what he says to do. So wherever you hear the trumpet, go there. And our God will fight for us. Understand, when God is speaking, there's a protection around that word of God. And what happens is your faith rises because God's giving you a strategy and speaking to you. And remember, it's the shield of faith which protects us from all the sandballot schemes out there, all the things the devil does against us. And we talked about that in earlier parts of this mm-hmm. conversation about the heart of Nehemiah. And so in verse 21, he goes on to say, and we're catching up right here, he says, So we continued the work with half the men holding spears, from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. You know, it's not 15 minutes once a week on Sunday. You cannot rebuild the church by going to 30-minute gatherings. I mean, it's cool that you're going to them.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you doing with the other 7 days a week?
No doubt.
Are you joining darkness and joining Sanballat on Monday and going in and get deliverance from the captivity in your life on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. And so it's 7 days a week. This is our whole journey. This is what God's called us to do. We're going for eternity here. We're not going for this vapor called this moment in life that we have. And so from sun up to from first dawn to the stars coming down, they stayed out there just nonstop working and protecting and guarding. And that's what you have to have. That's why I talked about a prayer community. You got to have covering. And prayer does that. And I thank God for all the prayer communities rising up around the nation, around the world. But understand, you need to be a part of a prayer community. You need to stand one of those watches, but part of building people and part of fighting the good fight of faith with the sword of the Spirit is you joining in and talking to the God who's going to give you victory. and getting things in check and just basking and realizing, wait a minute, this is God.
That's right.
This is not me. This is not us. This is what God is doing. And remember the wonders of the Lord. And at that time, he went on to say, also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night. So many people lose what God has done to them that day in the night. So many people lose what God's done in their life that weekend. And it's amazing. It's like, okay, now it's time for dark things. Now it's time for like, no, you got to stay in this place. Stay in this sweet spot with God in his presence. Stay where God has called you to build. Stay in Jerusalem. So your family group, your, you know, your stream, what God's called you to do, and you're fighting and you're building folks and you're helping folks, you know, function there, get rightly related there and build. But stay there. Stay there, he talks about, especially at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and workers by day. So think about it. If, in fact, the individual's going into darkness at nighttime, and it's like, not only are you not guarding us at nighttime, you're actually partnering with the adversary at nighttime. So we wake up to a battle in the morning. We wake up. And you think about that watch. That's the most important watch, that when we lay our heads down. Yeah. You know, who's watching over us in the context of that? I thank God for the 24-hour prayer cycles that are out there. We're not just checking in, clocking in for a minute and two, but we're really, you know, soaking on the aspect of that. And I encourage you, you know, find a place to stand and watch over God's folks and pray for them. And then he says in verse 23, he says, neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off their clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. And it's so important, you know, stay dressed in the things of God. Don't ever take off your helmet of salvation. Don't ever put down the sword of the Spirit. Don't ever take off your breastplate of righteousness or the belt of truth or your feet with the gospel. Understand, stay dressed. Stay dressed. We are in an intense thing called building the walls, building folks, the house, the habitation of God. God is using us. We're builders. He says, know ye not that you're the building of God? That God's Spirit dwells inside of you. The reason why God shows up in that building, ma'am, is because you show up in it. Don't let many people tell you that the building the building is what, you know, they're talking about the physical stucco or glass or crystal or whatever it is the house of God. You're the house of God. And nothing against your building, but understand, bring the identity back to the people so they can understand that I'm going to be personally held accountable. So when he's talking about, you know, idols in the temple, they're thinking and getting onto you because you preach that building is the temple of God. And they're saying, hey, you know, you got money changers out here or something. And they're going, why, they have idols in their heart, but you didn't tell them that they're the temple of God. So they're actually getting onto you and what you presented as the house of God when they're the house of God walking around with all these things in their heart. Does that make sense? And so let people know, and you'll be held accountable for not, that God's Spirit dwells inside of them. And then when we come together, he reigns in our presence. And that's what makes what happens there in God is when God's folks show up. That's what legitimizes that experience, because it can happen in a stadium, a coffee shop, house, a big, huge mega thing or whatever. There's all kinds of things, shopping center things. There's all kinds of places. And so then we're going to go into Nehemiah chapter 5, and we're going to just brief over 5 here, because what happened here is they were coming out of captivity. Remember, the whole purpose was everybody was in captivity, and Nehemiah had the right perspective. You got to hear this whole thing. I'm not going to repeat it, but he had the understanding. He knew that God is God. We're in captivity because we screwed up. We're the ones that turned our backs on God. We're the ones that got here. I own it. I own it for my fathers. We've done this. This is why we're here. And so what happens is when Nehemiah begins to come out of captivity in the context of this, that they start buying people out of captivity. And how do you buy people out of captivity? Well, they had debtor prisons. And so you'd have to give your children over for your debt. Imagine how many children would be given over today for the debt. I don't know what the average credit card debt is in America, but it's huge now.
It's huge. Yeah.
And so it has Mandarin on the back of credit cards now. Mandarin. Well, half the card is Mandarin Chinese and the other half is English. What is that? Maybe they own our debt. And so in this, that, so then say if you owed we'll just use dollars. Say if you owed $100 and you didn't have it, then you'd have to turn your child over and say, well, they're going to work as a slave for you. And so to buy that child back, is to have $100 to buy them back out of slavery. And so he's talking to him right here. He says, listen, everybody was under debt, and they brought the same dark practices that was done under captivity. They brought it, and what brought them into captivity, mm-hmm. they brought it right here in the new habitation that was being built. And they started loaning money to each other and making money off loaning. I mean, Wall Street started right there in the middle of Jerusalem, where they're trying to make money on money.
Mm-hmm.
And here they were being bought out of captivity, and they were being sold right back in captivity to their brother. And now you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. And all of a sudden they're realizing, listen, we came out of captivity, you know, and now we're back into captivity, but now we're owned by our brother. And then he even says, we don't even own our fields anymore. Mm-hmm. And so you ask the question that, you know, why in the world, when everything went to financial crisis the last time, why did they write the checks to the banks? Why didn't they write the checks to the people who actually lived in the houses? Because in their eyes, those houses were not yours. Those houses were theirs. That's and right. They were going to pay the banks. Because the reality is, when they wrote all those billions of dollars in those stimulus packets, the TARP, whatever it's called, plan, the TARP plan, that, think about this, they could have given you a voucher for 1 year's worth of house payments. And you could take that voucher and you could have given it to the bank, and you would have had your house paid for a year, which had given you time, and the bank still would have got their money.
Sure.
But you know
mm-hmm.
what they did? They cut you out of the loop. You know why they cut you out of the loop? Because you don't own that.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that's theirs. And that's what he's saying right here. He says, we don't even own our own fields.
Mm. Wow.
And today we don't even own our fields, but we people are like, oh, yeah. No, but you don't own it. When the pressure comes down, you're going to find out they'll tell you to leave their stuff.
Hmm. Yep.
Like, I'm going to put my foot down. We'll do it somewhere else because this is mine.
That's right.
You know, and that's what he's saying right here. And so all of a sudden, you know, Nehemiah stood up. This is chapter 5. And he goes, listen, you know, knock this off. What are y'all doing? Don't you understand that's what got us into captivity? Don't you understand that we went and bought everybody out of captivity? And now you're putting your own brothers in captivity? Knock it. This is not of God.
Hmm.
If you loan to your brother, do not loan to him for interest. You know, help people out in that aspect of it, but don't try to make money on their struggle, and don't put their children or their spouses in captivity. That's not what. And he says this. He says right here in verse 9. This is the only thing we'll talk about in this one. He says, "So I continued." He says, "What are you doing? What you're doing right now is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our Lord to avoid the reproach of the unbeliever?" Of the Gentile enemies. You're feeding into Sanballat's mentality and his concepts and his battle plans when you oppress your brother. You think about it. When you start getting into a contract, a financial agreement, you rent an apartment, you do something, business or whatever, you have to understand if you're doing that with a brother, which Proverbs says, you know, it's really wise not necessarily to do that. But if you're doing that, you have to understand that you're willing to lose that. You're willing to take the lesser side of that. So that the name of God is not shamed,
mm-hmm.
that the strategy of Lucifer is not increased, and then all of a sudden you're trying to preach freedom while you got everybody in bondage. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's talking to him, and he says, listen, this is it. I'm making a charge right now. And sometimes, listen, this is what Nehemiah had to do. This is what came up. Did he have this mentality to begin with? No, he didn't have this mentality to begin with. Did he want to do it? I'm sure he didn't want to do it. Did he have to confront this that arose in the midst of why they're building the walls? Yes, he did. What did he have to confront? The greed and idolatry and the willingness of men to oppress other men. Oppression had to be dealt with. And he said, listen, I'm going to stand up right now, and I'm going to shake the wrinkles from my robe. And just like the wrinkles from my robe is being shaken, if you, anybody inside these walls, puts another brother in oppression, you can't do that. You can't send people away. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. We have to wake up. Yes, you can. Paul writes about it. Put mm-hmm. that brother out, you know, and so that maybe his soul will be saved.
That's right.
And he says, as I'm shaking the wrinkles of my robe out, may you be shaken from this kingdom, shaken from these walls right here. And that puts the fear of God in folks, understanding it ain't about you. It's about a battle against darkness, and light himself, Jesus, is in us. And he's wanting to advance his kingdom. And by you oppressing your brother and trying to make money on your brother's oppression, you're moving in darkness. Jesus came to set us free. We don't oppress each other. Mm-hmm. He came to set us free. We're going to talk more on this when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God is doing some amazing, amazing things. If you missed our earlier program, you need to get a perspective of a crying out for justice with Pastor Cy E. Remember, we're four programs back to back. If you missed any, you can catch them at VFNTV.com, get download our app or whatever. But we want to keep in a continual conversation with you with that, because we got to have a perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. The reason why is because God's going to hold you accountable. God is going to hold each of us accountable. We stand alone before God. And that's how you can just be confident that you're just doing what you can with what God has entrusted to you, and you're being faithful. And one thing that we want to do, and the Lord's really spoken to us about this, that, you know, stay in relationship with us. We'll stay in relationship with you as long as the Lord will allow us, and say, you know what, let's continue this broadcast around the nation and around the world. But he's shown us some very hopeful things. And if we will trust him in this, and if we will believe him and begin to speak these things out while getting our heart, it's not like a default setting, like we can stay in rebellion and stay in sin and continue to, you know, all these wrong things, mm-hmm. and it's going to happen. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn and pray to God, he says, listen, he'll hear and he'll change things. And I believe he's going to change things regionally. He's going to change things state by state. So you can be in a state that's lost their state of mind, the original intent, or you can be in a city that's lost their state of mind, and you can say, you know what, this particular city is like the city that Lot was in, so I'm going to find me another city under a man or a woman of God who loves God, who hears from God, and I'm going to plant myself right there, and that's where me and my family are going to sow, we're going to be faithful to God. We're going to pray God for that, pray that God would cover us in the context of that and speak to us, and we're going to obey God in that. And maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Truly, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Our hope, and we are hearing the Lord, as many are, and our goal is just to communicate that to you so you could be all that God has called you to be. And find out more at VFNDreamCenter.com, VFNDreamCenter.com for more details on that. You can join us virtually or join us on the Gulf Coast. We're located in the Pensacola area, but also reaching around the nation and the world with, it's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's exciting what God is doing. We call it the dream because it's what God said, and we're just doing what he said, and it's amazing how that's taken. That's why we're here. That's why we're here talking to you right now. God said it. We're just doing it.
That's right.
Just doing what God said.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John, and we're continuing to have this conversation about the heart of Nehemiah. Now, we're in Nehemiah chapter 6, and you think about it. He just had to deal with inner conflict, and we have to get over the naivety. It's like, we're brothers. Why can't we get along? Mm-hmm. I mean, and the thing about it, if you did not take the place of authority that God has given you, if you did not honor a place of authority among you, then you can never get beyond the inner conflict taking place in the body. So if everybody rejects authority, you're stuck with those inner conflicts and inner bondages, mm-hmm. and things that go on. It's like, who is God establishing? Who are the apostolic fathers in your region, in your city? What's happening? Who can speak into this?
Mm-hmm.
Who can we trust that would speak into this, that would have God's heart in this matter? If you can't, you just stay in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be humble enough to be able to find the thing about a stay rightly related way before that even happens. And then you have that aspect to be able to speak into. So speaking to, you trust the one speaking into your life in the context of that. And so in Nehemiah chapter 6, you're thinking, okay, we had an inner conflict. So obviously we've dealt with outside stuff, we dealt with inside stuff, and we just had this buffeting against us with a Sanballat and Tobiah and the Geshem, the Arab, and all the things that he's doing. And you think it's got to be over, and guess what? That's what happens again.
Hmm.
I mean, you look at it. I mean, Nehemiah chapter 6. Hmm. I mean, prepare yourself. This is what happens, but it's gonna be an awesome ending here if you listen. He says, verse 1, he says, when the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of all of our enemies, understand it was these three leaders plus all the enemies, that I had rebuilt the walls and not a gap was left in it.
Hmm.
In other words, because you've reached successes in part of what God has called you to do. Now, I understand it's not all of it, but because, remember, you had still had low walls and you still had some gaps, and he was so concerned that you're halfway there. And then you got the walls, and now you still had the gaps, but you were closing them. You got really upset. And now all the walls are up and all the gaps are up. And he says, though up to this time, I had not yet set the doors and the gates yet. So their gates weren't set up yet. So you still, it's like there was still access. And that's the thing is that you don't be access and don't give the enemy access. Let him or her stick their lips out so far you can step on them to build the higher parts of the wall.
Yeah.
But don't let them into what God is doing. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, period. If you're against what God's doing, you don't belong here. And if you're for God, we need you. Grab a trowel, grab a sword,
let's go.
And start building. Let's start doing what we got to do here. Build people. Don't tear them down.
Right.
God's called you to build them up. And he says, think about it. He says, so he's saying here, everything's done. The wall's done. The gap's closed. Everything's in, except for the gates. The doors are not in place yet. So you just have a small area to protect. I understand everything's pretty much protected. But guess what happens? Sanballat and Geshem sent me this particular message. In other words, they are still strategizing. They realize that you haven't finished it yet, and they're still going to try to take you down. They're still kind of trying to stop, and it's like, and again, this is what Jesus said. There'll be a day that people kill you and think they're doing me a favor, which means is you didn't finish the gates yet, and you're dead. You finished the gaps yet, and you're dead.
Wow.
And they're going to go, God, I just want to thank God for letting me kill somebody. That kind of thing. And he says, there's going to be a day that people kill you, and they're being used to stop the very work that God wanted done in that particular region, city, country, nation, world, or whatever. And so all of a sudden, now they're going to try a different approach. We tried all these threats and all these other kind of things come. He says, listen, we got to get him outside. He has never left the work. We got to get him outside of the work. If we could just get him outside the work at a pancake breakfast, if we could just get him, he needs to come to our thing. She needs to come to our thing. And he writes a letter to him. He says, come, let us meet together in one of the village. I don't know. How about the Plain of Ono? And I call those Ono meetings. Now, yes, I have gone to some Ono meetings, but I didn't realize it was Ono until the middle of it. And I look at Pat and go, oh no. Oh, no. And others have done this too. You're thinking like, oh, wow. Jiminy, weed crickets. And so he's inviting him to come out to an Ono meeting. And these are very important to understand. He has never left the work. He's staying focused on the work. And why the heck would anybody want you to come outside the walls?
Wow.
Why would they want you to come outside the work? It's because they're being used. I mean, you're not building those walls for them, and you're not building them. You're building them for God, whatever God told you to do. For an audience of one. Listen, it's his throne that you stand before. Quit worrying about the fear of man and what men think of you. If darkness has them, they're going to think all kinds of bad things about you. And if they think everybody thinks well of you, you're not even building the walls. You're a false prophet, Jesus said. And so he says, come, let us come together at the village at the Plain of Ono. And so it was an Ono meeting. And it goes on, but they were scheming to harm me. Now, I have to be honest with you, in my own personal experience, I just thought this couldn't be true.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
Now, the wisdom of Pat was going like, oh, no. Are they?
This is happening.
Wait, right?
Riding the wall.
Right. Are you going to do this again? But I really feel, I just think there's not as much sand this time. It's not as much ballot or sand or Hornites. Anyway, so in the context, and so sometimes you got to say, I got to quit going to Ono meetings. I guess we're going to have golden pancakes in heaven, but I can't have them now. If you're going to be used to stop the work of God. And besides, if I ain't finished yet, if you're not finished yet, if she's not finished yet, why are you going to pull her away from the work? It's because you don't want the work to be done. She says, but they went on scheming to harm me, he said. So I sent them a message. So they sent a message to him. He sent a message to them. He said, I sent them a message and I replied, I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Well, that really feels though they're like, I'm doing a great ministry for God. I don't have time for your bank. It's like, can you imagine?
I'm busy.
It's like big things, stuff would come out. And he says, why should I stop? He said, why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? And it's so funny. People like, it's like, you really want to stop what's going on? And they go, well, I don't really know what's going on. Well, you don't need to be pulling anybody out of anything then. You got to start praying and spending time with God to find out that God's got so many different Nehemiahs all over the place doing things and building folks and fighting for what's about to happen. And so then he says, four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. And this is the answer you should tell folks. Why should I leave the work?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they could answer it, the thing about it, they can't answer it. There is no answer. Mm-hmm. And you should ask yourself, what am I doing leaving the work? What about, and you don't even know what the work is to do. Remember, you wrote the vision, you made it clear, you pronounced it. The people said, we're going to do this thing. You're going through the journey. And think about it. He built these walls in 52 days. We're going to talk about it and understand, because he didn't leave the work. They didn't leave. They stood guard and they focused. And understand that. Four times they sent an enticement to pull him out, to shame him, to ridicule him, to stop him from moving. And four times he sent, don't change your answer. The question is, before God, before the eyes of God, the one you abide with, why would you leave the work? Why would you leave the work? And the very fact that you would ask me to leave it is the very fact you don't have a clue.
Mm.
You don't have a clue of the seasons and the times that we're in. Mm. We're going to talk more about this. Don't forget, we're four programs back to back. We're going to continue this conversation about the heart of Nehemiah. I believe the secret to rebuilding the church in America. This is exciting and good news.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen,
You can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.